He's the greatest player of all time. Not at any position, or not just a single position. The greatest to ever play the game of football is Tom Brady. That's why he has a statue.
Ted Williams has one. I mean, he's not the greatest baseball player. Well, some would argue he's best.
Greatest
of all
Red
time.
Sox, maybe, of all time, considered.
Is that head thing real? His frozen head?
Only 120 more minutes until AJ Brown o'clock.
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody, as we sit and wait and count down the minutes to the inevitable AJ Brown o'clock, right around 4 o'clock Eastern. What a massive case of blue balls will it be if he doesn't end up getting signed at 4.
You got that right.
But they've announced this Garrett deal, so can they do the same for A.J. Brown in the next, like, finalizing deal pending?
Ken, that's a great question because, you know, the whole reason they're waiting until 4 o'clock is about, you know, it's basically instead of paying, what is it, double before 4 o'clock, that
you can spread the dead money out.
So does that mean that the deal has been, the Myles Garrett one has been agreed to in principle, and they're going to wait to sign it until 4 o'clock? Is it Eastern time?
Yes, 4:01.
Is it Pacific time?
4:01 Eastern.
Okay, well then why can't they just announce the A.J. Brown thing then?
Correct. Or report it, or, you know, some snappy reporter. Of course, we have Jeremy Fowler from ESPN on 5.
Yes.
I can move that up if you'd like. We can see if he'll break anything for us.
You know what? Jeremy Fowler, we're on Jeremy Fowler time. He's a big enough guest that we're going to be on his time if he wants to come on earlier when it does break. If it does break, but I just kept thinking about that, Ted. I was like, if this doesn't happen.
Well, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine it because I'm looking at this wide receiver group, and I'm hearing stuff from OTAs, and I'm hearing, you know, Romeo Doubs is, you know, he looks good, but he's not really a one. Yeah. And, you know, DeMario Douglas is leading all the receivers at every drill, and I'm like, I don't want Pop Douglas leading our receivers in every drill. That's not what we're looking for. We need a thoroughbred leading the drills for those wide receivers. It's such a glaring need to have A.J. Brown. If he doesn't come, guys, it is going to be a
Diggs.
Kick in the
Steph Diggs time.
If it's Steph Diggs, this is like this is the guy at school who thought he was bringing the hot girl to prom, and then there was the ugly girl who kept like saying, "Please take me," and now you got to show up with some roses.
You know why it's important though to get A.J. Brown? Not because of what he does on the field. It's a different energy. They need a different energy than like Steph Diggs. Okay, I mean, if you have to go back to Steph Diggs, okay. But it's the same energy. You need to change up what you had a little bit from last year. To get where they want to go. If you bring everyone back the same as last year, you kind of have the same energy and you really need to mix it up a little bit. A.J. Brown would clearly mix that up.
And you need as many weapons as you can get right now because who knows how Ramondre Stevenson is after getting collided with Matt Rife at that celebrity softball tournament yesterday.
Doing? God, he was like a seat-seeking missile head first right into the knee.
He was not even thinking. As I said, you know, the stuff that came out of that, apparently Drake is quite the athlete, quite the baseball player, just dingers all over the place.
Now, Dobbs like tripped over the outfield fence, the makeshift fence. He did not look like a baseball player. I don't know if that means he's not a... You know,
I don't know that against them.
Yeah. I don't
it's
like
not
those
always transferable.
I'm not a fan of these celebrity games where like they have to go out there and actually do things with idiots who don't know how to play and put like other real athletes who have millions of dollars on the line in danger. Like I saw that yesterday and I was just like, "Oh, what did you expect?" When I saw Matt Rife hit him, I was like, "If he got injured, what did you expect?" If I'm an owner and I gave them all that money, there's part of me that would want to put it in their contract where they weren't able to. I know it's for charity, but there's got to be another way to do it other than going out there and running bases and getting smacked in by other guys.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems to me like if you were the Crafts, you're just like on the edge of your seat. Please, God, make sure his ankle is A-OK after all of this is done.
No comedians. Did you ever get told by the team you can't do this X, Y, and Z in the offseason?
Nope. It's no, you just have to use good judgment. But we had those charity basketball games that were, you know, kind of, you play a fire, you know, sometimes fire department or police department, and they get all fired up and worked up to play against you. And that was fun. I got a little, you know, out of control sometimes. But
yeah,
you play in those a couple of times, you're like, yeah, I'm good. Because you just, the guy across from you, you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
So sometimes they're bringing it and they're throwing bows and you're like, I don't need this crap. So you just I bowed out after a couple games. But yeah, guys would have charity basketball games all the time.
Well, every time there is a media basketball game with the Celtics, someone snaps their ankle. Like, I mean,
yeah,
Turpin
gets like dunked on.
Yeah, yeah, but no, but like I remember one time Tony Maz like effed up his ankle
Achilles.
So bad,
Achilles.
His Achilles. That's what it was, and he couldn't drive for months. And it was just like everyone wants to go out there and play on the parquet. Oh, mm-hmm. It's a cool thing, but you know, there's jackasses who don't know how to play right, and not that they don't know how to play right. It's just that if you're not trained to go as hard as you do when you're on the court, and I guarantee you get this thing in your head like, I'm on the Celtics basketball court. I'm going to go off, and then you end up doing that, and it happens more times than you would think. There was also one thing that happened at Gillette Stadium a couple years ago. God, I forgot what member of the media it was, but it was on like a flag football game that was at Gillette where there was another I forget who it was, but they got jacked up too. So I'm telling you, I know these athletes have things in their contracts like rock climbing, yeah, and parachuting and
snow skiing
yeah, that you're not allowed to do. I'm telling you, any kind of like charity baseball or basketball game, out. Like, I would put that in the contract. You know what? Do the bowling thing that the Patriots have been doing for years. That's A-okay.
It is a rare event. Like, to see Drake out there with 10,000 people.
I like
He and his wife, just very comfortable. That's, like, a great vibe. And Gonzalez being there, I think, is a great sign. He wants to, obviously, be part of the team. He's not, like, pissed off that he's not showing up.
Yeah.
And Vrabel looks loose. Stiz said this before the show, and I agree. I think Vrabel's in the clear. Just the fact that he's out there loosey-goosey, he's got something settled, and we're good.
He's not
we're
in the
ready
clear
for
until Rossini talks.
She's not talking. Stiz, you are 100% right, buddy.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I feel it in my bones, Rich.
That was the sign.
It's over.
She's not. There's no way she'll never talk about it.
Yes, there is.
Unless she gets paid off.
Three letters, yep.
That's it.
No, you don't get it. She loves Mike Vrabel. She's not going to hurt Mike Vrabel.
She doesn't want to hurt him. She doesn't want to hurt him.
It's not you can do it without hurting him.
She listens to Pink, Rich, about Mike Vrabel.
Don't start
does.
Pink right away.
But the thing is about her is that she can talk because she has to save her own career too. All right?
I think that's Katie bar the door. It's over, don't you think?
Yeah. No.
Her career's over.
As an insider, it is, but not as a broadcaster.
Yeah.
As a broadcaster, there's plenty of places that
if
she could
If that's
work.
What she wants to do, yeah.
Which,
we don't know if that's what she wants to do, but man, her job as she knew it is gone.
Yeah, that part is gone because you needed to have that trust. They blew the trust. But as far as like, I mean, heck, you know, Stu Gotts, who was obviously fairly close to her, was saying that he would offer her a job at any moment. I guarantee you there's a ton of other places that would say, absolutely. You think the amount of people are going to tune in to want to hear her talk?
Yeah.
She's kind of got an interesting wild chick personality, which isn't the worst thing in the world, and people seem to listen to that kind of stuff nowadays.
Money has a way of shutting that up.
Mm-hmm.
And just good vibe. We turned the calendar. Red Sox are hot. Patriots are the clear. AJ Brown is coming. I mean,
we're gonna hit on that. We're gonna hit on this Red Sox. I'm hearing a lot of people saying the Red Sox have turned it around. You got to be.
That was Rich last week.
Oh my
week.
Goodness!
No, I did not
yes,
say they would turn it around.
That was a quote.
That was a quote. If they won the series, it's something that they could build on. Not this last series, the Braves series.
Oh, okay.
Something that they could build on. Mm-hmm. Listen, the Guardians are a good team. They're the
first
I think they're the
team.
First place
yeah,
in their
exactly.
division. But I mean, I'm not going to sit here and especially after reading this article from Tim Healy about how Breslow is apparently just doing everything wrong.
Talk about an expose.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good nugs in there, man.
There is.
And it's interesting. There's the Herald did a interview Breslow a couple days ago. So you got Healy coming out with a lot of stuff, and you got Breslow talking. I mean, Breslow, part of me just wants, hey, bud, just don't say anything for a while.
yeah.
I don't think he helps himself. There's certain things he said to the Herald that I think are interesting as well that we got to get into.
Well, so Tim Healy from the Boston Globe wrote an article that is he interviewed a ton of different people from around the league. And what we ended up learning is that Breslow, it seems to be extremely reliant on analytics, like to the point where I think they used to have 14 scouts.
They used to, yep.
And now they have one, I believe, on staff.
They call them different. They have different titles for them, but there's like a total of five, four in one department and one in another. And they don't travel. They don't go watch the prospects, like in person as much anymore. They cut way back on their scouting department.
So it's like most people are calling them out because they don't have anybody there. Like Theo used to be a dude, and the article wrote about it, but we knew this about him. He did like analytics and he liked numbers, but he also was somebody that would talk to other people and like get to know personalities, try to figure out whether this person has what it takes, you know, culture-wise, you know, whether or not they've got that winning gene, the clutch gene I know that people have talked about. That's something that Theo Epstein was obviously very in tune to. But Breslow, it's just literally, it's almost like, it's like running a team via AI with him.
Mm-hmm.
Run a baseball team for me. And whatever it spits out, that seems to be the direction that they're going in, according to this article.
I think the most baffling thing about it is the guy played 12 years in the majors. So you think he should know better. You think he would know that it's important to have interpersonal relationships with players, that you got to kind of, you know, talk, don't talk down to them, but get on their level and just get to know them as human beings. He's even said in this article that he underestimated the importance of that. And he played for 12 years, so he didn't get it then, and he didn't seem to get it now, and so it just feels like a mess.
Well, that's why we had Theo appear on this random podcast, the whatever it is, Soft the Dirt in the Dirt podcast,
a couple weeks ago.
I don't know what it was.
Pumping the dirt.
He finally did an interview for the first time in, like, years since coming back. Why? He's putting some pressure. They want him to light a fire under Breslow. Let's go. Brez, come on. Job's on the line. You have a story in the Globe where you're talking about Theo's being disappointed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, this is good news if you're a Red Sox fan. Well, you got Theo back in the mix.
There was nothing in that article that shocked me. It's just it was refreshing to hear it being said by people who are around the organization. Because you could sense all of it. That it has nothing to do with feel. It has everything to do with what numbers are being spit out. And there was a great, great line in it. And as I said, we're going to talk to Tim Healy in a little bit, but there was a great line about them trying to get players, and it was something along the lines of, oh, if you are not, like, that kind of, you're always going to be third when you're going after free agents with that kind
of. That was the Dodgers GM.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a great line.
If you put logic in, when you're trying to put, you know, logic as far as, you know, when you're equating that logic to getting these big free agents, good luck, because you're gonna finish in third every time,
yeah,
basically.
Which I thought was a great line. Because that's the kind of ship they're running right now. All right. 617-779-7937. Let's get into the Red Sox. And AJ Brown watch continues. Once we hear anything, we will break the news, we will cut in, and we will just go right to it. We've got guests lined up all to talk about it, like Jeremy Fowler and Tim Healy from the Boston Globe. We will get to all of that right after this. Two minutes. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. And as much as I would love to hear the Stone Roses kick in, we got to get to some sports, and shall we? Let's see what happened there, Stiz.
What just happened?
Sports happened.
When Sports Happened is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Hey, hooray, the Red Sox are mediocre again.
Strike away from it here, 1-2. Chapman throws, and a swing and a miss. He got him. The ball game is over. What a thrilling come-from-behind win for the Red Sox to win this series in Cleveland. The 6-run seventh turned this game right around. Another homer for Jaron Duran. The Red Sox Road Warriors take 2 of 3 in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, listen, a series win against the best team in the AL Central may not worth having a parade over, but it sure was nice to see the Red Sox bats erupt in their 9-4 win yesterday.
And our man Coop erupted, which was great to hear on the radio.
Oh, yeah? Now, was this in the seventh when the team just kind of went nuts?
What just happened?
do we have his call? Like, okay, let's take a look. So this is...
It was a series of calls. It was like a barrage of Coop stingers. Shots to the heart.
I am told our own Cooper Boardman here was somewhat enthused. Let's take a listen.
Bases loaded, tie game at 4. It'll be a 1-1 Amasa. He swings it. He lines it right side. Over the leap of the second baseman, Bazzana, and into right field. 2 will score. Narvaez and Duran home. And on a 2-run single, Massa does atone. 6-4 Red Sox in the seventh. A gift given, a gift taken.
Right. What? So... Dude. The inning, the gift given.
Ted, your face.
What they were out, just happened?
Cleveland was out of challenges. Oh. ABS system comes back to bite the Guardians. They burned their challenges. They got a gift from the ump. Gift given, gift taken. Great job.
Oppo!
So just so you know, I think what Ken's saying is important. So you talk about, okay, yeah, they blew, you know, the seventh inning, everything just got out of hand, and the Red Sox were lighting it up. You know how lucky they got?
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It was two outs, bases loaded.
Yep.
Willy Abreu's full count.
Yep.
And the pitch is up and away in the zone. He calls it a ball. So you get a walk, a run in. If they would, if they had a challenge left, they didn't because they used their one the inning before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He would have been out. That was a strike. He should have been out. That inning never should have. They never should have got a run in that inning.
Massa does atone.
So they got lucky. You talk about a fine line.
That's
the Red Sox are walking.
Preparation meets opportunity, right?
Can you explain to me? I still don't understand why they switch off doing the calls.
A gift given, like, a gift taken.
Why is it Will Fleming doing some calls and Cooper Boardman does
one guy go to the bathroom? Get a little change of voices. You know? Yeah,
you have time between the – no.
Oh, there's no time in between innings like there used to be.
Yeah, it's pitch clock. Yeah,
90
it's
seconds.
Fast.
Yeah,
fast
but I mean – so that's a long bathroom break. Like they switch – that confuses me. I'm sorry. I don't like that. I think that they should – like one person should call the game.
Okay.
That's it. And then one person should kind of be the color commentary. I mean, other teams do that. Why do we not do that? It's really weirding me out.
When it's the Wills, Middlebrooks doesn't call it inning. He's just the analyst. But in this case, Coop is multifaceted. You know?
It's gone!
Oh, my word, a Cooper Borgasm.
Nice job, Coop.
That is interesting.
Cooper Borgasm.
All these Borgasms just coming our way. By the way, Ken, your do not trade Jaren Duran stance is getting some love as he hit his ninth homer in May alone. By the way, that is... I had to kind of check and make sure this is true. Tied for the second most in the American League this month, the amount of home runs.
Oh, yeah, it's got nine.
Whew.
Yeah.
Very nice.
He hit 170 in April. He's up to hit 261 in May. Five steals. He was 4-for-13 over the weekend. All of a sudden, you want to give the new manager a little credit, our man Trace.
Yeah.
His putting Duran, having faith in Duran and putting him at the top of the order has changed the direction of the team somewhat. Not saying they've turned it around, Ted. I know you're skeptical.
The offense has been better.
That's a great job by Tracy to just say, you're my leadoff guy. I'm riding you. He had faith in him and it's paying off.
What happens when Roman Anthony comes back? What's he do? Because it's easy to put him at the top and play. I mean, you guys understand this is his outbreak of hitting is concurrent with what? The fact that Roman Anthony has not been playing. So when Roman Anthony comes back and Jaren Duran goes back to being, you know, off, you know, not playing every day. Then he's going to go back to being the same Jaren Duran.
No, I think honestly at this point, Roman probably is your DH.
Okay,
and you take the load off him, injury, you ease him back in. We saw his arm anyway; he got exposed a couple times early in the year. He needs to work on his outfield mechanics whatever. So,
can I just put a little pool, you know, cold water on you guys a little bit though?
Sir, if you must, on a Monday.
They are leading for the third of the season. The Red Sox averaged a little over four runs per game, which was below. The league average, which is 4.5 runs per game. Right now, in the last nine games, they're averaging 5.5 runs per game.
There we go.
Nice.
That's what Rich is calling
for. Those nine games, they are 3-6 in those nine games. 3-6.
They played the Braves.
I'm just telling you. So you get all worked up about hitting. Oh, yeah. But is it leading to wins? No.
Shot to the heart.
Yes.
How about my man Bayo, though, after the second inning? Gosh darn it, Friday night. Baby Pedro was back.
All right, we got to talk about Brian Bayo.
This guy.
So I don't understand why he needs a fluffer. Like, why can't he start a game?
Well, the last time they tried him, which was the right move, put him back in there. It was in Atlanta, tough assignment against the Braves. He gave up a 3-run homer in the first. He said after the game through an interpreter, quote, I'm in a mode where I want to prove that I can start, that I can go 5-6 innings plus. What better way to do that in the role that was given me today, making the most out of it? But he wants to get back and be a starter. I like that.
Yeah, if he's saying it, I mean, look, a lot of times you got to say it, baby. You got to just get it out so that you believe it yourself. But he has not played well when he has started. He has been terrible when he started.
We all agree that that's like a yips type thing, right?
Total. It's all mental.
You know what this reminds me of? Because I was trying to think, think of an incident that was somewhat similar to this. And obviously, I've never heard of anything exactly like this. But I kind of thought of, remember how John Lester couldn't throw to first? Remember how for the longest time, like John Lester.
I remember.
It was like for some reason he had a hard time throwing to first base. It was like one of the worst kept secrets like in a while. And someone finally asked him about it. Yeah, like he had a hard time for a while throwing to first base, which was really strange. He just abandoned any kind of pickoff throws for a while, or he would bounce the throws to first. And that's the only thing and there was even one time I think he like tossed his glove with the ball inside of it.
That's true.
I
do remember.
It was like a really weird stretch where he couldn't do that. And baseball is such a mental sport. It just got me thinking, and there's like the Mackie Sasser thing, you know, I mean, everyone's heard about that, where he couldn't throw the ball back to the pitcher, which was really strange. But just having to have somebody go in and just start the game for you.
Mm-hmm. Sacrificial lamb, you know, and whoever they're putting out there isn't, that's not what they do. That's not, they're not starters. They're just asking to be told, being told to go out there and, hey, man, do the best you can for one inning and we'll get you out of there. That's not normal for them either.
No, it's all weird. Did you say, Stiz, we've got Chad Tracy being asked about that? Can I hear that? Let's hear what Chad Tracy says.
I don't know that you can make sense of it. The most important thing for me right now is that he looked great, you know. So, and also not only looked great, but had a swagger about him on the mound that we've seen in the past. So, like, I'm just mostly very pleased to see how he threw the ball.
They're in denial a little bit, right? It's just, hey, let's just bypass the question. Hey, I don't care about how it started. I just care about how he performed. Yeah, that's nice. But the reality is, you're in a 4-0 hole before he even gets in there to start the second inning, and you lose 4-3.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Didn't they say Mac Jones had the yips there toward the end? What was his issue? Arcand asked him about that. Do you have the yips or something like that?
Oh, hang on. It was throwing left or something? Like he couldn't throw. He couldn't throw left. Yeah, he did have something. I know that you mentioned that.
I mean, it was a terrible year, obviously.
This was great. You're right, Ken. Arcand did ask him, and this was great. He denied even knowing what it meant.
Mac, again, maybe a weird question, but do you think you now or at any point this year sort of had the yips?
What is that?
Likely story.
What did they ruin, Mac? He's
asking for trades. You hear that? He asked for a trade. Nobody wanted him, so he got a little bump in salary, which is like by $50,000, I think. Well, that was nice, but yeah. We digress.
I saw that story.
Fix him, but Bayo is fixable. But I would give him one more start. If he stinks, send him down to AAA. He has options. Let him start there until he can do it.
How about
and
a different
bring
role?
Back.
How about a different role? How about a long relief?
He's good. He retired like the last 12 Friday night.
But he's so
good. Lineup.
It's just like he can't hear his name before the national anthem. Like there's something weird in his head.
Maybe you simulate a first inning, like in the bullpen, like in, you know, out there where you
press. Yeah, there you go.
And just, you know, like, hey, you know, 15 hard pitches, you know, where he's got to, like, you know, simulate a game.
Kind of. Just like if it's at
so
Fenway.
So then he goes into the first inning. It's really, in his mind, it's his second inning.
Have the people at Fenway just change all of the numbers for him. Like, make it say 2 instead of 1 when
go.
He comes out.
I like that.
And mentally think it's the second inning. It is really strange. Like, it's one of the more odder yips I've heard of in a long time. Where he just needs someone out there for one inning, and then he kills it.
I think the only team that's ever done this, like Tampa Bay used to do this.
Yeah, there were a lot of teams doing the openers. Tampa, definitely.
Okay.
They had success with it, but we don't have an opener. There's nobody on this team that can't open.
Right.
Nobody can handle the first inning.
Boy, that's a specialty there.
Huh? Yeah, that is.
But the worst thing is the Crochet news. That is very depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, for him to say, the way he talked about it, he said it's a very minor setback, but then he said, well, I wasn't even close to starting anyway.
Yeah.
Like, just very dismissive. He's gone for multiple months, it sounds like.
Yep, there's a little bit more news on that. Also, we got to talk about Christian Gonzalez and his contract. Ted, you have a little bit of concerns here. Do you think that the Patriots are going to break the bank and set the market? Who knows? Ted's got a theory. We will get to that right after this. For my money, this is the best song to see performed live by any band. 46-2 by Tool Live is the best. When Danny Carey just goes off at the end of the song, there's nothing better.
A couple years since their last tour, right? Are they done?
No, they're not done. As a matter of fact, there's a rumored Sphere residency that they're talking about.
Take my money.
Yes, I can't think of a band I'd rather see at the Sphere other than a Pink Floyd reunion.
Now, have you ever been to Vegas?
Yes, let me tell you a nice long story about when I saw Michael Jackson one, when I was absolutely blasted out of my mind. All right, so it is Rich, Ken, and Ted, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And we have an interesting situation right here with the Patriots. First of all, as I said, or as you heard right there, we are 90 minutes till A.J. Brown o'clock. 4 o'clock is supposed to be when everything gets announced, although that Myles Garrett deal was just announced.
Official with more picks than originally stated. A first rounder in 2027, a second rounder in 2028, a third rounder in 2029, and Jared Verse.
Good for the Browns.
Cleveland. Wow.
I can't believe the Browns did something smart.
Wow. Wow.
Because Myles Garrett hated playing there anyway.
Yeah.
They had to get something for him. The only problem is that first rounder, I mean, the Rams are going to be good for a while.
Right.
So you have the reigning defensive player of the year right now, the reigning MVP on the Rams. I got to think that they're, you know, if you take a look at their Super Bowl odds, it's got to be pretty good.
Oh, I think but they're probably the best right now. I mean, they barely lost to Seattle.
Pat McAfee today just predicted Pat's Rams Super Bowl. So there you take that for what it's worth.
Oh, is that right?
There he did.
He's going Pat's?
He goes Pat's Rams. Massive year for May and McDaniels.
Ted, I don't think this team's going to be as bad as you think it is if they get A.J. Brown. If they get A.J. Brown and you got and obviously they take care of this Christian Gonzalez situation, I'm looking at the rest of the AFC, and I know it's a tougher road, but I think that you're only going to see Drake May ascend, especially when you've got, you know, a weapon like A.J. Brown who's able to free things up. I don't think that that's a crazy prediction.
I don't want people to think that I think they're going to be bad. I just think they're going to be the record's not going to be close to what it was last year. I think they're going to, you know, they're a 10-win team, maybe 11. I just think the schedule, and it doesn't mean that Drake May's taking a step back. He can still take a step forward and still have that record.
Yeah.
I'm a little dubious about the defense. The offensive line, I still have questions on. I think the start of the schedule is insanely hard. Three out of the first four on the road, and all four first teams of the teams you play are all playoff teams. I just think there's a lot in that schedule where I can see the Patriots getting tripped up and not having the same, you know, success in the regular season as they had last year.
Let me ask you this. Who in the AFC do you believe is definitively better than the Patriots?
Definitively, I'd probably say I think Buffalo is there. I think you can make an argument the Broncos. You can maybe make an argument the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe make an argument that the Chargers are better than them. You could maybe make an argument.
The Chargers, like, that's a tough one to swallow.
I know.
Chargers.
But they barely beat them, you know, in the playoffs. But then, you know, Lamar, he's fully committed now. He's going to OTAs for the first time in forever.
New coach, though.
New coach. Yeah. But he sounds like he loves the offense. He's all in right there. So, you know, Baltimore, too. And then don't forget the Texans. I just can't imagine their quarterback playing as bad as he did.
God, it was so bad, though. It's tough to get that taste out of your mouth.
Yeah.
But then again, Drake was so bad in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you know, I understand what you're saying.
Well, A.J. Brown is so exciting. But do you think, as like we've talked about this too much, you start to overthink it and get back into the injury spiral? Because I saw Doug Kide wrote this whole thing about they're giving up too much. An assistant GM told him no first-round pick is fair. You're getting a declining asset. No way they should give up a one. But it seems like that's it. Even though it's a 2028 first, if that's what we think, if Schefter's right,
yep.
That's still, you know, you're getting A.J. Brown. I mean, you need him, right? To me, it's worth it. I have no problem giving that up. And that seems less valuable, even though it's in 2028, it's going to seem valuable. But right now, it's a total unknown. I mean, we just had, you know, Haley's Comet almost hit us or whatever over the weekend. We might all be dead. So do it. But do you have second guess the A.J. Brown thing at all?
I mean, you're not going to get – what else are you going to get out there that's anything close to this that feels like a
Diggs.
Physical certainty?
No, I mean,
Diggs is – A.J. Brown is a better talent than Diggs.
According to PFF, they were very closely rated last year, but obviously there's different things going on there. A.J. Brown was at the end of a bad relationship, whatever was happening. Still put up good numbers, but – different positions, you know, so all kind of things happen.
Here's what a lot of people don't talk about and realize when it comes to A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown is going to have the best head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback combination he's ever had in his whole career. Better than anything he ever had
at
Tennessee.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Better than anything he had at Philadelphia. He's not going to have a quarterback that's even close to throwing a ball to him like Drake May is capable. He's had, obviously, Vrabel as a head coach, but he's got a really, really good offensive coordinator here with Josh McDaniels. So I just think he's gonna be in the best offense with the best quarterback with the best coaching he's had in his entire career. So I'm expecting him to be as good as he's ever been.
Kide put in there his social media post from after they won the Super Bowl, which I had forgotten about, and it is kind of interesting. He writes on his social media 2 days after winning, after a few days, I've had time to reflect on being a champion. I tried to feel how everyone made it seem to be a champion, and unfortunately, it was short lived. 2 days to be exact. I've never been a champion at the highest level before, but I thought my hard work would be justified by winning it all. It wasn't. My thrill for this game comes when I dominate. It's the hunt that does it for me, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he's talking about like being unsatisfied after winning. The Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Love that. And by the way, I mean, that might be a total hardo post. Like, I don't
That's
know.
That's a Mazzulla.
No.
That is.
Well, Mazzulla was just like, he's never happy. He was like, you know what? It was for 2 days I felt it, but now I want more. I love that attitude. And as I said, there's a difference between, like, if he said it, I'd believe it. But if, you know, J.J. Watt said it, I'd roll my eyes.
Oh, but he was
leave
upset.
My guy alone.
Leave your guy. You know J.J. Watt's a
That's
hard
my guy. He is. Yeah. He smelled out, though. But, yeah, he was.
He had 5 targets in the Super Bowl, 3 catches, and a touchdown. And he was unhappy mm-hmm. because he didn't, quote-unquote, dominate. So that's a strange person you're getting. And I mean, maybe you're right, Rich. Maybe it's a good sign he's wired to, you know, to crush people.
Yeah, hell yeah. Are you kidding me? And that group needs a guy like him. They right now, you know, they're all pretty good. They're all good receivers, but the group will really come together with AJ, and he's kind of like the ace in a staff where you need an ace to kind of lead the charge for all the other pitchers on the staff. That's what AJ Brown would do for this receiving core.
All right, so let's talk for a second about Christian Gonzalez. He was out and about over at the celebrity softball tournament for Drake May this weekend. So, and obviously, it looks like he was happy.
Did he flash the money sign? Did anybody see that? He did at the Celtics game.
I did not see him do it there. Now, okay. I did see the Celtics game when he did that. And by the way, he deserves every dollar that is coming his way. But there is a question as to whether or not the Crafts are going to set the market, which they are going to have to do if they're going to want to keep him. It sure does seem like that. And what are we looking at as far as the money? I'm like guaranteed maybe like $80 million, 4 years, $125 million or something like that.
No. It'd be close to, I would think, a little over $100 million if we're guaranteed.
You're thinking about 100?
Because that's McDuffie got $100 million.
Oh, he did.
Guaranteed,
that's right.
Right?
That's
so,
right.
So guessing the guarantee is going to be a little bit more than that. McDuffie's making $31 million per. So you got to assume that it's going to be a little bit more than that.
32 mil, probably just enough.
The more I look at it, the more I'm starting. When's the last time the Patriots have given a big contract to a first rounder 2 years before they needed to? And I was looking at it, and I can't remember the last time. Then the last time they signed a first rounder to a second contract was back in 2017 when they extended Dante Hightower, who was drafted in 2012 in the first round. Chandler Jones, who was drafted in that same draft class in a first round, got traded, as we know. But then everyone else between, Dominique Easley, Malcolm Brown, Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, N'Keal Harry, Mac Jones, Cole Strange, none of those guys even saw second contracts.
But also none of those guys are Christian Gonzalez talent.
I get it. It's just the Patriots horrible. Haven't extended. They don't like to. I mean, they don't like to extend a guy, heck, in the first round, until they absolutely have to,
well,
is my point.
Okay, so I will actually use your logic. What was the common factor between almost all the people you just named?
Well, I mean, they all sucked.
Well, also, who was essentially the GM?
Belichick.
Belichick. Belichick's gone.
Yep.
Do you think there'll be a different philosophy now that Belichick's gone?
See, I'm that's what we're all waiting to find out. That's what I'm so curious about.
I am suspicious, and it's never been proven, that if Bill saved a dollar, that dollar went to him.
Yes.
That's
the truth.
Yeah.
So in that case, you had a guy who was incentivized to not sign those deals to players directly. I don't know if that's true. If you wouldn't, I mean, I'll trust you, Ted. But I don't think Vrabel would operate that way, to Rich's point. I don't think that's the case now.
I would not. No. I mean, just look at, like, some of the contracts he did. I mean, he gave Ryan Tannehill a huge deal.
Yeah.
Down in Tennessee when Tom Brady was available. So, no. And you know what? You cannot talk about the players. It's all about the players. And then when it comes time to pony up to pay them, not pay the players.
They did pay Gronk on his second deal. He got, in 2012, 6 years, $54 million. So there were a couple people they made exceptions for.
Yeah, well, that was begrudgingly, and it was that deal was obsolete like within the first 2 months. I mean, that was a bad deal that Gronk signed. But
yeah.
They don't like to give a guy a contract extension 2 years before they have to, because Christian Gonzalez, he's been in the league 3 years. They essentially have him for 2 more years before they have to, pay him. I just don't see him giving him a big deal 2 years before they have to.
You know what? The rest of the league does stuff like that, and so you're just going to see. You're right. This is going to be interesting because this is one of the first megastars that you have had without Bill Belichick here.
And you're ready you're going to give up a first round pick for AJ Brown here, we think.
Yep.
So you could easily get one back if you traded Gonzalez and replace him with a top corner in 2 years or whatever it is, right?
We shall see. Well, AJ Brown watch continues. 4:00 is what we're looking at. That's what the rumor is, although that Myles Garrett one just leaked out before four, so who knows? But as soon as we find out, we will bust in and let you know. Also, we've got Tim Healy from the Boston Globe wrote a massive expose on Bregman. Does not make him look good. From people all around the league, he interviewed a ton of different sources. We will have him on in just a few right after this. Oh, hell yes, this.
In Los Angeles, the wind never comes. In Los Angeles, the mothers milk their young.
AJ Brown loves this song.
I'm seeing her on Thursday. St. Vincent.
Wow.
Big fan. All right, it is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. We got Stiz Jackson over the other room, and it's 93.7 WEEI. And this story is wild because I got to be honest, I didn't hear about it until you guys just told me about it. And the more I'm thinking about it, the more this just makes the Red Sox look pretty bad. We're going to have Tim Healy from the Boston Globe on with us in just a minute. And he wrote an expose, interviewed like a bunch of people around the organization about how Craig Breslow has been doing. You know, he gives him credit for a couple things as far as the pitching is concerned. But after that, it is just very damning. But one thing that I have found to be the strangest is this Caleb Durbin story. Ken, can you kind of take me into what you just told me? Because as I said, I'm just catching up on this right now.
Well, I'm just going to go by what the company said. Bradfo was all over this yesterday on Baseballs and Boring here on EEI. He did a good job, and he talked to Durbin, which we'll hear from in a second. But Durbin was in, obviously, a terrible funk. I thought he should be sent down. Pretty much everybody did, right? He was hitting,
sure,
you know, he was hitting 147 on the season. And they benched him, basically. He played three times from May 17th to the 27th, but he went and met up with this guy, local guy. He's got at least a satellite office, I think, in Waltham. It's called Gratum G-Swing. And the company put out a video. He says, Durbin came in. We broke down the data. We made the adjustments and got to work. A few days later, Durbin is 3-for-7 with two doubles. Teach, train, transfer. And you've seen, if you're watching the Red Sox lately, Durbin's a totally different guy. He's going the other way. Doesn't seem like a driveline Teddy where he's trying to pull and yank everything. He's back to just being,
how about that,
a scrappy hitter. So,
hang on. So Durbin's going to a swing coach outside of the organization?
Swing company of sorts? Yeah, I guess. A swing coach? Yep.
And one that isn't, he wasn't sent there by the team?
Doesn't this sound is like it.
What are we doing?
Is that legal? I mean, you could do that, right?
No, I'm sure you could do it, but what does that say about how this organization is run?
It's not. I can't imagine that the guys that are all the hitting coaches are very happy with that, because you talk about territorial. There is nothing. You want to see just dudes like crapping on the dudes.
Yeah.
Get one trainer saying you need to do this, another trainer saying you need that, and go, oh, well, I went to this other trainer. You tell your trainer that you went to another trainer. They'll look at you like they want to punch you in the face.
Well,
like,
Alex Guerrero, right? I mean,
same thing. Same type of dynamic. So if you're getting advice outside of the, you know, the team, oh, the team frowns upon that.
Which, by the way, I don't blame Durbin for doing it, because What is that? What's that saying is that he's telling everyone, our organization has crappy hitting coaches. Like, they suck so bad that I guess he's not the first. I'm reading about it now. Carlos Narvaez, I guess, did that in April. They helped him out of an early season slump, and they published a YouTube video too. Can you imagine being the Red Sox and seeing a video of your guy going outside, unless you don't give a rat's ass, unless you obviously know how bad your hitting coaches are? Dude, that sucks that these players feel that they aren't getting the help that they need out of all the things that you've needed the most help in. Is someone, like a hitting coach, all this driveline crap. That is wild. So Durbin was asked about it by Bradford?
Okay. Good job by Bradford. We talked to Durbin about this development.
Tell me a little bit about how, when you get to that point where you're like, okay, I really want to dig in on this, and maybe it's like from a trusted voice. I think you had, you know, your guy here. Should we say his name? Or
you can, yeah.
What's his name?
Lorenzo.
Yeah. Okay. And
The last couple of days, he's in town with one of my teammates. Just met him.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of my teammates works with him, so.
Yeah.
I love Lorenzo. Get help from Lorenzo.
And that's Carlos Narvaez, I think.
Jackson speed dating. I just met him. Just met her.
How great is it? Bradford's like, hang on, you're not the only one going to this guy? There's somebody else here that plays on the Red Sox? who's going outside the organization to get batting help?
Lorenzo the Lobster.
It really is wild how almost everyone in the Red Sox has to go outside the organization to find out what's wrong with them.
Hire Lorenzo. I mean, well, seriously, they should hire this guy.
But of course.
But think about it. Who did, besides firing Cora, the staff that got fired the most was the hitting staff. So Pete Fatsy, Dylan Lawson, Joe Cronin, those were all hitting coaches under Cora. They got canned a month ago. So think about that. All those hitting coaches are gone. And who replaced them?
Well, just think about it this way, because, you know, it made me think of a story with I think it was Mac Jones. And remember when the offensive coordinator was, of course, everyone's favorite Matt Patricia, the greatest offensive coordinator there's ever been.
Great example. Keep going.
Yep. And what did he get in trouble for? He said, I'm not getting any help from this guy. He ain't an offensive coordinator. So he went down to Alabama and got help down there. And what ended up happening? Two coaches. They talked. They're best buddies. Bill Belichick and Saban.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, hey, your guy is down here getting quarterback help from our guy. What the hell's going on? And what did Bill do?
Do you remember what Bill did?
He got pissed.
And did what? Do you remember what he did?
He wouldn't even mention his name.
He didn't. He started him was it the Monday night game? And then benched him.
It was the Zappening, right?
It was the Zappening. Put Zappy in for no reason. That was basically teaching him a lesson. Oh, you're going to go outside our organization and get advice? Watch this. I'm gonna start you. And I forget what was the. Oh, it was against the. I think it was against the Bears.
Yeah, it was the Bears.
It was a Monday night game, Sunday night game. He starts him and then benches him and puts Zappy in there.
Yep.
And it's Zappy time. And he just to embarrass him because of going outside of the team.
That this story, I don't know why this isn't bigger than it is. I just found out about it. I mean, that just says something about this organization's priorities. And you put this on top of the Breslow article, which we're going to talk to the author here in just a minute. It's just that this is not a well-run organization.
Well, they're in flux. I mean, I think even they would admit we fired half of our staff. Would it shock you if the guys went elsewhere for some advice during this time where you have new faces coming in, new voices? I mean,
no, what would shock me is that the Red Sox weren't able to bring in competent people who live in town. They could have gotten this guy.
Hire him.
And they didn't hire him.
They're
not helping their own players. These play. You know what this sounds like these players are doing? They're saying, help us. Please, help us. We're lost. And they're like, well, screw it. If you're not going to help us, we're going to go on our own.
Mm-hmm.
So good on Caleb Durbin having that wherewithal, that kind of motivation to say, if you're not going to help me, damn it, I'm going to go on my own.
6-for-17. He's on fire, this guy.
Listen, it apparently helped Narvaez.
Yep.
That's inexcusable.
Well, Ted went to a rival strength coach once.
That went
well for him.
Never not once.
Oh, you did?
I never did.
Okay.
They're just not in line. They haven't been. This stuff coming out, it's interesting. It's a lot of stuff. You're starting to wonder, is this the beginning of what might be the end for Craig Breslow, right? It feels like they're geared up. I mean,
they're heating it up.
This was a pretty, you know, we're going to talk to Healy pretty soon. I mean, this is a pretty, I don't know, jarring type of article.
Well, the Theo stuff's awesome.
This is the kind of article that usually comes out after somebody's gone.
Usually.
You know, the smear campaign. Like, he's being smeared right now. Like, before, I'm not surprised by any of it, though. The fact that he seems to almost entirely rely on analytics and no feel and the lack of scouts, people who have been there who know what they're talking about. Their scout now seems to be computer programs that spit out stats. And you know what? They made a great point in the article, too, that spitting out those stats made you whiff and not bring back a guy like Kyle Schwarber.
Maybe Roman should go Lorenzo for some, like, hand advice. Just have him fix him up, like have surgery with Lorenzo. By the way, there is one A.J. Brown report out there. It's from Jordan Schultz, who is somewhat controversial in the insider world. Do you trust Schultz, or should we just let that go?
I used to rip on Jordan Schultz. Jordan Schultz lately has been more right than wrong. I got to give him credit.
Yeah, do you have any
I'm okay with what Jordan has to say.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So he writes here 20 minutes ago, sources, the Pats and the Eagles have had deep discussions on a trade that would send A.J. Brown to New England for a 2028 first-round pick. Other details are still being finalized, but the expected deal is on track to happen. So it's nothing shocking, pretty much what we've heard, mm-hmm, but it is a fresh quote-unquote report with sources. So just put that out there.
All right. Well, we're about an hour away from when we're supposed to hit A.J. Brown o'clock, when the big announcement happens. And when it does, we will announce it. As I said, how funny will it be if the show is over and there's no A.J. Brown?
No, Arkham 11.
Oh, man. I mean, this could, three months, right? But they don't have to do this for 3 months.
But a great point by Keith, right at the end of Jones and Keith, he said they're dominating the news cycle today with Myles Garrett. Why would you announce A.J. Brown? Why not save that for Tuesday?
Oh, so you're saying the NFL is wringing their hands.
Yeah, and you know what? The Crafts and the Eagles want it a day later, too. You know, so it's to get the full impact of it. I could see them wanting to wait till tomorrow.
Well, we shall see. Hopefully at 4 o'clock we'll have some news to break. But in just a moment, Tim Healy from the Boston Globe, he's the one who wrote that expose about Craig Breslow. It is a great read, and it really goes into pretty good detail about what the rest of the league, as well as some of the people within the organization, including Theo Epstein, think of Craig Breslow and his methods as of late. We are not going anywhere. 2 minutes, and we'll be back with Tim Healy from the Boston Globe.